Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Live from Sports Column in Lodo, presented by Coors Light, it's the Fan Football Pregame. Here's Mike Evans and D-Mac.
It's a thrill to be here in lower downtown Denver, where although the Broncos are on the road, they get going at 11, and what a double dip as the Rockies play game three of the NLDS against the Brewers after 2:30. So it'll be rocking downtown, and we are thrilled to be here with you. It's D-Mac with Mike Evans. But Mike, before we go on about the Rockies, we're here to talk about the Broncos and the Jets. And the biggest news of the week would be the release of a punter, as the Broncos will eat $1.5 million and ditch Marquette King, who goes on injured IR, which means after he is declared healthy that he will be released by the team. The Broncos had said repeatedly they did not think his injuries factored into his poor punts, nor do they believe that he really was injured, despite the fact that Marquette King's agent has come out and said that he's been injured since OTAs. Could have fooled me by watching him in training camp when he was booming 70-yarders left and right.
I remember the first couple days and watching him kick, and you were like, this guy's going to be a real weapon for this team. I mean, he is going to really be a difference maker when it comes to flipping the field and field position, but he's just been awful. And I look at the two kicks, the one against the Ravens, when they were coming out from basically like their own 15-yard line, and there was a third and 10 pass that Courtland Sutton dropped, and then you were asking, I think from their own 15 or so, for him to really do his job, and that is right. Get a boomer off, and I think he got like a 35-yard punt off. That led to a score. And then this past week, same exact situation. You were looking for a big kick, and he only kicked it about 35 yards. Again, set up Kansas City around midfield. You can't have that. And so not only does this guy need to go because his performance was lacking, but this guy needs to go because he didn't want to be here, D-Mac. He never wanted to be here.
The tricky thing about evaluating player and being fair in what we do is that you want to be objective and just look at things on the field. But when there are clearly off-the-field issues that impact how you perform on the field, it's hard to ignore it. I had my own run-in with Marquette King, which was embarrassing for the Broncos. And the fact of the matter is, when he put up a horrible tweet at me, very profane, won't even go into it specifically, and the Broncos weren't even able to get him to delete a tweet, it is stunning that any professional athlete would at tweet somebody something as profane as he did, period, and that was allowed to happen. But Marquette King was fragile, Mike, fragile. And the Broncos were very nervous about balance with Marquette King, and they didn't want to set him off, so they just allowed that to happen. Never mind the silly video with him and the John Gruden thing, the contentious interviews, the reluctance and I don't want to talk about football, I just want to talk about cartoon characters. The fact of the matter is, there was something going on with this dude behind the scenes that was having an impact, Mike, on the field. When you say he didn't want to be here, Marquette, I don't know if I've ever seen a player come to Denver and prove he didn't want to be here in more ways than Marquette King.
Yeah, and this goes back to something that we've talked about with the Broncos, and we gave him high marks for what they did in their draft with having a strategy of, look, we want football players. We want guys who want to be here. We want guys who take this seriously. And Marquette King, unfortunately, I think was a move that shows that John Elway and crew didn't totally have it out of their system, because they were drawn to this guy's talent, his big leg, and the potential of what he could do, and they overlooked the fact that he's a turd.
Right, and they didn't just simply bring him in and have a conversation and evaluate the quality of that conversation, just like they didn't evaluate properly a quality of a conversation with Paxton Lynch.
Paxton Lynch.
Just like they did not value the quality of a conversation with Garrett Bowles.
Yep.
They are just blinders on with physical ability rather than the other side of the game. And everybody is good in the NFL, Mike. It is absurd when you sit down and talk to Garrett Bowles for 5 seconds and you sit down probably with Ryan Ramczyk, that you took Garrett Bowles over Ryan Ramczyk. Nobody should be surprised here that Garrett Bowles doesn't quite get it. It doesn't take lengthy conversations with the dude to understand that, nor does it take lengthy conversations with Marquette King or Paxton Lynch. What this personnel department of the Broncos has got to do is sit there and evaluate the quality of the person, because everybody's good in the NFL. Listen, I made a big deal about you didn't talk to Bradley Chubb. That's ridiculous. For these very reasons, you need to get to know a guy. Now, that's nothing bad to say about Bradley Chubb. He seems absolutely positively fine. I have no issues with his personality whatsoever. My issue, Mike, is with the process itself. I mean, it's got to get better. Because not only do you waste $1.5 million on Marquette King, you blew a draft pick in Riley Dixon. And don't sleep on seventh-round draft picks. A seventh-round draft pick is our backup quarterback. You know, an undrafted guy, Philip Lindsay, is one of the stars of the league. So I don't say there's any throwaway draft picks. And you traded Riley Dixon, who you drafted. If you look at punting averages, Mike, the difference between the best guy and the worst guy is actually significant, the best guy and the worst guy. But if you look at stuff in the middle, it's fine. Riley Dixon, punting for the Giants, has better numbers than Marquette King at a much cheaper cost. Why in the world did you get rid of that? And was there an issue with him holding the ball for Brandon McManus? Well, okay, if so, let's find, I don't know, the 50 other guys on the team that can hold a ball for a kicker. It doesn't have to be the punter, Mike. It could be anybody. It could be Chad Kelly. It could be Emmanuel Sanders. It could be anybody. Who's got the best hands? Who does Brandon McManus feel the most comfortable with? So it's a tough lesson when you look at the free agent acquisitions this year. Tremaine Brock, Marquette King, Jared Valdir, who's out. And we could have told you he was going to have injury issues.
Now, real quick, though, that is significant for today, because kickers are a funny bunch, and they have their quirks, and they're very particular about who their holder is. They want to be able to have some sort of continuity. One thing Marquette King did well, held well for McManus. McManus has been off to an outstanding start. So I am a little bit nervous about, you have a new holder today, and in a game that figures to be low scoring and tight, it could come down to a couple of field goals. How does that impact McManus and his ability to kick?
All right, well, we'll dig deeper into everything. But first, let's hear from our main man. That is Mark Schlereth.
Here's Mark Schlereth with his biggest observation for today's game. It's exclamation mark.
Defensively, you have got to mix it up, especially on first down. You're playing against a rookie quarterback. You have got to give that guy a ton of eye candy. Make his eyes look all over the football field. Make sure that he's confused mentally, and then you've got to bring pressures. You've got to play off. You've got to rush five. You've got to rush three and play coverage. You have constantly got to mix up your looks. Von Miller has to come to the forefront. He's got to make plays. He's got to hit the quarterback, as does Bradley Chubb. You do those things on the defensive side of the ball, you're going to create turnovers. You're going to be able to win this football game just on the defensive side of the ball. And then you got to look at what you're doing against that Jets defense. Leonard Williams, how are you going to block Leonard Williams? How are you going to protect your left tackle? Because your left tackle has been a weakness. You've got to make the throws. You got to slow down your feet. You got to make the throws on an accurate basis, and you got to make them on a consistent basis. We need some big plays on the offensive side of the ball. That's how you're going to get this thing done. And if you do that, you're going to come away with a win when you get your cleats on the grass.
Thank you, Mark Schlereth. Mark Schlereth is the home commentator for the Arizona Cardinals on television.
He's on the beat.
Well, how many games is he going to do for the Arizona Cardinals? Oh, my God.
This is his second Arizona game and his second. He's done two Seattle games as well.
Kay.
But he's here next week. He's got Bronco
Rams. Yeah, that's going to be very cool. Mark's the best. Mark, he's doing a great job, too, on TV, by the way. So we'll see where that goes for him. Gets a better partner, Mike. You should be doing the games with Mark.
No, we'd have so much fun.
Oh, my Lord, it'd be awesome. When we come back, Cecil and Pritch, what to watch for. We'll also hear from Troy Rank in the Meadowlands, which is in Jersey, not New York City. Sandy Clough will be along. We have incredible action in lower downtown today with the Rockies hosting their first playoff game, Mike, since 2009. Do I get that right? Against the Phillies?
That's right.
Oh, boy. All right, this is the Fan Football pregame show live from Sports Column and Lodo on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. We will go down to Troy Rank out there in the Meadowlands. That house of horrors, Mike. Never have those moments back. My memories of the Meadowlands are not good. You're part of it. You know, we were out there doing... our location was great. We were staying at the Media Hotel.
Yep.
You know, kind of on Broadway. I don't know where it was. It was kind of near.
Nice, yeah.
It was kind of close to the action, but it was unbelievably cold. I mean, it was brutal. Like, just walking across the street was just awful. And I'll remember nothing was really happening in Manhattan, so when we were covering the team, we had to get on these buses and just drive forever to Jersey City. They had the media day at that horrible hockey arena, and there were people outside protesting the education system in Newark or something. I don't know. It was just one of the most.
We did get
games.
Those police escorts, though, that were cool.
Yeah, you got to get on the early bus to get the police escort.
I felt guilty a couple times. Like, we are just ripping through New York City. No traffic whatsoever. Every time we go through an intersection, there's a bunch of traffic backed up as we just whiz right through. And I'm like, this is cool, but yet I feel a little guilty that we're imposing on so many people.
Then there's the game itself, and somebody who no longer works at the Fan decided to take the press credentials to actually get the seat. So it left the rest of us kind of out in the cold. I think I snuck into the stadium and kind of bobbed my head up and down. I didn't have a seat for the first half. I kind of had to just sort of, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
And then at halftime, I didn't make it through Bruno Mars because it was so depressing that I walked out. And when you walked out of that horror show, there were big tents set up where they had the auxiliary media. And sure enough, I walk in there. I'm like, you know what? I just want something to eat and just, you know, sort of get through this thing. I go in. There's no food left. There's no coffee left at halftime. And I go over and there's a tiny little cubicle and there's Mike Evans on like a black and white TV.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a good place to really watch the game.
We're in the place where they actually do the, where people can watch horse racing.
Yeah.
Or dog racing.
Yes.
It was like the off-track betting room. So,
look
at the little TVs.
When's the fifth in Pensacola down?
Hey, first world problems. We were at the Super Bowl already.
And then we go out after the game, and I'll just never forget. The only person who was kind of upset about the loss was Wesley Woodyard. Everybody else seemed to be, like, John Fox was, like, in cliche mode. And I'm like, dude, you just lost the Super Bowl. Peyton Manning came off the stage and goes, I'm sorry, to Mike Kliss. Like, he apologized. Oh, I'll never forget that moment. And it just felt like, even though the Broncos were in the Super Bowl there, Mike, in New York, New Jersey, it just felt like we were a million miles away from winning it.
Yeah.
So fast forward 2 years, it was just so remarkably different and so much better and just such an incredible turn. Now we're back in New York City, Mike, in a game that the Broncos should win. But it's hard for me to escape the horrible memories of the Broncos playing in the Meadowlands and getting away from that. That being said, the Broncos should win this game, but I go into it with a little bit of trepidation.
Yeah, it's a road game. There's nothing about this team right now that we can trust on the road because they've been so bad on the road of late. So, and you got a Jets team that is, you know, I mean, they're not horrible. I mean, they're not good, but they're not horrible, and they can do some things defensively. And you know, they got a quarterback in Sam Darnold that I loved what Schlereth said in his exclamation mark. They can't let this guy get comfortable because after a fast start for Darnold, the last few weeks have been rough. You got to continue to keep whatever is rattling around in his brain as a rookie quarterback. You got to keep that going. Don't let him get comfortable. Don't let him get on a roll. Don't let him start to get into a rhythm. So, it doesn't feel like this. And do I trust the Broncos offense all of a sudden to figure it out this week? No. So I think they should win.
Wait a second. Why don't you trust the offense to figure it out?
Because have you watched the last few weeks?
I have paid a lot of attention to the last few weeks.
I don't think that the Meadowlands on a Sunday morning against a Jets team that can do some things defensively, I don't think this is the week that all of a sudden comes together.
No kidding. Yeah. So what do you think it looks like?
I think this is a game in the teens.
Woo!
I think it's a game in the teens. I think
this
is a game you try to win 19-16, 19-17, something like that.
So if it's 19, I got to think about that for a second.
There'll be some field goals.
Yeah, so if it's 19, you're seeing one touch. Wait. You're seeing one touchdown by the Broncos and four field goals?
No, that's, something like that, Or, you know,
that little production by the Broncos offense, one touchdown.
Yeah, more field goals, More field goals than touchdowns.
So you're seeing five scoring plays, but you're only seeing one touchdown those five scoring plays.
Well, it could be two touchdowns with two-point conversions.
Okay,
and one field goal.
All right, Mike, you can mix it up. You can mix it up like that. Sure, there's all sorts of computations.
How about 18-17?
I don't know.
I don't know.
You're the one that picked the score.
I think he'll be in the teens.
I mean, we're jumping ahead. I think the Broncos, you get 10 possessions. Yeah, they score 5 out of the 10 times, and, you know, 3 of them are field goals. So, to me, that puts it at 23. I think 23 is kind of the magic number for this Broncos offense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If this offense could average 24 points per game, I think they're in the playoffs.
And I see them as 23 points a game. I see them as that close to the playoffs. I see them as they're right there. Now, I am going to concede to you, Mike Evans. I can't believe I'm doing this.
This is great. I've been looking all weekend forward to this.
It's a must-win game.
Woo!
I mean, I hate using that term because it's not like they're eliminated, but I'm going to go with what you – I know what you mean by saying must-win game, so it's certainly just easier for me just to go along with you than to debate it and have some sort of semantics argument. So, fine. I'll use your terminology. It's a lot easier just to get to the same point. You are correct. There are 4 must-win road games if you're going to make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this one, it's San Francisco, it's Arizona, it's Oakland.
Right.
The end. Because the rest of the road games are, you know, at San Diego, at Kansas City, at Cincinnati. You know, Mike, they aren't easy. You know, they're nothing that you can really count on. This is one of them. In fact, you can make the argument that which game is easier for the Broncos to win on the road, this one or Arizona? I guess Arizona, but this has to be right up there.
Well, the Arizona one, though, just comes with the challenges of a short week
that
on
is
the road.
Correct.
And we see so many road teams struggle in those Thursday night games.
Yes.
So that's what makes that one difficult. But, yeah, you got to grab this one. You have, if this is going to be a 9-win team, okay, and that's going to put you in the hunt for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
This is one you have to get because you look at – or otherwise, you know, otherwise you're now looking at having to replace this one that you thought would be a win with a game that you thought – like, you know, so if you lose this game, now you got to turn around and –
beat Cincinnati on the road.
You know, beat Cincinnati on the road or something like that.
All right. What to watch for specifically? Let's get that insight with Mike Pritchard and Cecil Lammy.
It's Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Thanks, guys. Well, what I'll be watching for is the usage of these Broncos rookie running backs. Vance Joseph saying he's looking forward to using more of Royce Freeman. You've got Bill Musgrave saying it's time to take the training wheels off. I want to see it. I want to see this Broncos rushing attack help out quarterback Case Keenum. Pritch, what are you watching for against the Jets?
I'm watching for the top line players. This is a must-win game for the Denver Broncos. On the road, short week off of Monday Night Football, early game as well. I mean, everything, all kind of adversity against this team. You need your leaders. You need your best players to play well. You need Case Keenum to play well offensively. You need Von Miller to play well defensively. I'm watching for the top paid players, the most relied upon players, to show up against the Jets.
Pritchard and Cecil's What to Watch For is presented by Golden Oak Lending. Whether you're buying or refinancing, Golden Oak Lending can help. Call today, 720-500-GOLD.
You know, I gotta take exception with Cecil, what he said there, because it's...
Well, apart.
Got to be able to run the football.
Oh, yeah.
You and I are on the... You and I have always been together on this
silliest
one.
Thing.
It's maybe the most overrated talking point in the NFL today, the importance of being able to run the football. Whenever you say we have to be able to run the football, it is code for we don't believe in our quarterback.
Right.
And so if you don't believe in your quarterback, then the only way to somehow try to cover that up, which isn't going to be effective in the long run, is we got to run the football. Broncos are the number three rushing team in the NFL.
Yeah, by the way, this is the NFL. So yesterday in the CU Arizona State game, with 7 minutes to go, up by a touchdown, CU literally just bullied the ASU Sun Devils. Their offensive line dominated the defensive line, and they were running for like 7 yards a pop. They threw the ball, I think, twice in a long drive and just literally ran out the game. It was very, very impressive. Can't do that in the NFL. You can do that in college football. On that football field for ASU, there may have been 1 or 2 NFL-level players playing defense right then and there. That's not the case in the NFL. They're all good enough to be there. And look what happened in the last game with the Broncos and the Chiefs. The Broncos were trying to, you know, do something, run the ball, that sort of thing. They went 3 and out. Why? Because the Chiefs just stack the box, Mike, and you can't run the ball on that. Not in the NFL you can. The difference between the best offensive line, the best defensive line, is it's a smaller margin when you stack the box in the NFL. You can do it in college because it's just I'm better than you, I'm stronger than you, we're going to move that pile 7 yards a pop. Once they stack the box, Mike, you just can't do it.
Yeah.
You need to use the run and the pass as some sort of balance. But to say that, you got to run the ball more. I mean, it's kind of absurd. Like, how much more? You know, you're running for 159 yards last week. I mean, what's the magic number? 175 yards?
I mean, they're third in the NFL in rushing. They're top 10 in rushing attempts. They're top 10 in yards per carry. So, in theory, they're doing what anybody who believes in the running game, they're doing that. And
yeah.
So why aren't they more productive offensively? Because Case Keenum is struggling.
Right.
That's why.
You're running the ball great. You don't need to run it more. You need to just do exactly what you've been doing. And you need your quarterback in what has been, historically, the most productive offensive quarter of football ever.
Right.
With yards and touchdowns. You need your quarterback to rise above. 3 touchdown passes and 6 interceptions.
You got D-Mac right now, and it's early. We're at the quarter pole. But still, we're at the quarter of the season in. There are 4 quarterbacks that are on pace to break Peyton Manning's single-season passing yards record.
Amazing.
There are about, I don't know, there's like 8 or 9 quarterbacks who are poised to throw for over 5,000 yards.
Yeah.
Including guys like Derek Carr and Joe Flacco.
Yes, because they've changed the rules.
Right.
They've made it easier than ever, which I like, by the way.
Sure.
It's made for some really entertaining NFL games. So it's all a very positive thing. And they're changing their whole helmet-to-helmet thing. Oh, I did see Kareem Hunt got tapped like $20,000 or something for lowering his head on Justin Simmons, by the way. So he didn't get a flag, but he did get fined. Anyways, they're doing the right things, I think, to keep the game interesting. And they're modifying stuff, so don't freak out with they're ruining the game. The game is as exciting and ratings-wise as popular as it's ever been. The fact of the matter is, you don't need to run the ball more. You're fine running it just the way you are. If you want to give it to Royce Freeman 3 more times, then fine. But what they're telling you is Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay don't know how to pass block. Because they're playing Devontae Booker for, 20 plays, Mike, and they're giving the ball to him once.
And the other thing is that no matter how well they run the ball, when Case Keenum drops back to pass, he does not trust his left tackle.
The Marquette King thing was beyond obvious. The next, domino that needs to fall is Elijah Wilkinson for Garrett Bowles.
Schlereth put it together for me. He showed me, he cut up the Baltimore game and literally, D-Mac, I'm not kidding, literally.
Yeah.
There were 10 plays where Garrett Bowles should have been called for a holding penalty.
He's a total disaster.
He's a disaster over there. And it's affecting Keenum because every time Keenum drops back, he has no trust.
Right.
No trust whatsoever.
Nor should he.
In his left tackle.
All right. In terms of who's playing and who's not, we'll get to the inactives just in a little bit. Sometimes it sets the tone of where they're going and what they're about to do. Meanwhile, Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, he will join us live from the Meadowlands next. All right, we'll check in with Troy Rank here in a little bit. Troy's running around, but we'll get a hold of him sooner than later. Hey, down here at Sports Column, a legendary location in Lodo, you can register to win $200 to Uber. There's a free shuttle to Mile High starting 2 hours prior to every home game. And Sports Column is a great spot for fans of the Broncos, the Rockies, of course, and the Iowa Hawkeyes. So we're thrilled to be down here. I like the fact that I just got some good parking on one of these free meters right across from Coors Field.
Yes.
Oh, that's...
Leave it here all day.
That's what I thought. When I pulled up, I'm like, wait a second. Parking's free on Sunday, right?
Although
I'm at a meter that it's, I'm in a good spot here.
Yeah, you're good.
I mean, you could... You can hock a loogie and then smoke it right into the Coors Field from the location of, it would be a big one. You'd have to load up. There's no doubt about it. But, we're close. I guess that's what I'm saying.
I might even try to sell off my parking spot.
Hey, now. Hang a little sign.
Yeah.
Parking, $15?
Parking scalper, that kind of thing. Who wants it? Give me your best offer.
That's hysterical. That is so Mike Evans.
You can you can give me 40 here. You can go pay 70 over there.
All right. Boy, what is parking here downtown?
Oh,
you think it's going
to
go?
It's going to be. It's going to skyrocket.
We're over 40. You think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get opening day. What are opening day prices normally?
Right.
And then tack on a little bit more.
What's the weather going to be like here downtown today? Well, it looks okay.
At the start.
Yeah, and at anything after 5 o'clock looks a bit dicey. So I think we're going to be okay for the Rockies game,
yeah.
Unless we get into extra innings. And you know what? Not that cold either. I'm seeing mid-50s. I mean, the original forecast was kind of a nightmare. So,
but the humidity is a bit high, D-Mac, which means that whatever chill is in the air will cut through your bones a little bit.
What are you going, Kathy Sabin on me right here? I don't even know what the hell you're talking
come
about.
Come on, you know that's that Syracuse humidity. It just cuts right through you.
You know, the things you do to kill time when you're waiting for a guest that was scheduled for you is remarkable. But, all right, I'm going to what do you even know about this Jets team, Mike? I mean, what should we know about them?
Well,
what catches your eye about them?
I think they've... You know, they've embraced the suck. You know, they've embraced the fact that they're rebuilding. They've made a couple of nice picks, I think, with what they've done the last couple of years on defense, adding a guy like Jamal Adams, their safety back there, and now this year with Sam Darnold. So I think they're slowly trying to put the pieces in place. But, I mean, you know, again, this is – I like Bowles. I like Todd Bowles. I think he's a pretty good coach. I like the way he handles his business. But, yeah, I mean, this is a team that – you know, should be at the end of the day, should be a 4-5 win team. So if you have any designs on making the playoffs, if you're the Broncos, you got to beat this team.
Troy Rank joins us. Troy, good afternoon. How are you, my friends?
Doing great. How are you?
This has got to be killing you, Troy, to be in New York with all the baseball action down here today. The timing is poor. They can't lose because they got to have Troy Rank in a playoff game tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I hope they win because I think there's a chance you and I might be doing some radio tomorrow night if that's the case before the Rockies game. So I would love that. Nothing better than talking a little baseball before
actually,
a playoff
game. All
three
game. Of us. So, all yes, three of us will yes, be doing it yes. for a pregame tomorrow. So, yeah.
Evans is involved. I don't know about this then. I got to look at that again.
That wasn't what I was sold on.
All right, here are the inactives today. Jared Valdir, Tremaine Brock, Shamarco Thomas, Alexander Johnson, who's on scholarship this year. DeMarcus Walker, which is... stop telling me how good everybody in front of a second round draft pick is. Kevin Hogan and Sam Jones. Notably, other changes, of course, is that Colby... Is it Wadman or Wademan, Troy?
Wadman.
Wadman is the new punter, and Billy Turner will be the right tackle for the Broncos. Also, we should note Mike Evans, Troy... Elijah Wilkinson is active for today, so Garrett Bowles, does he have to watch out a tad, Troy?
Well, again, he needs to play better. There's no way around that. He really struggled last game, actually the last two games. And what's interesting to me is if Billy Turner continues to play well at right tackle, would they, and this is just me playing the hypothetical game, would they consider moving Valdir to left tackle if Bowles were to struggle? Because Valdir's career... until last year was spent at left tackle. So they need Bowles to get better. Great athlete. He just still deals with some technique issues, so he's got to get better. There's no doubt. But Wilkinson is up because Jared Valdir is hurt.
Troy, you and I have had the running the ball debates. You are a believer in it more than I am. So what is your approach to what the Broncos need to do on the ground, considering that they're top three in rushing, top 10 in attempts, top 10 in yards per carry? What do you want to see them do more of or the same or less when it comes to running the football?
Well, I think they run it the right amount. They're 108 yards a game. They've shown they can run when they want to, not when they have to. Mike, but at some point it's got to be used to set up play action. I mean, the one thing that's been concerning is Case Keenum, while he played a couple of great fourth quarters against the Raiders and Seahawks, played actually pretty well in the fourth quarter against the Ravens, and a good first half against the Chiefs, he hasn't put a full game together. And when is that run going to set up play action? Case Keenum ranks near the bottom in terms of pocket passers this year. That has surprised me because they are running the ball. It'd be different if he wasn't throwing well from the pocket because they weren't running the ball. They are running well. The thing to watch for the Jets is they don't give up many yards per attempt, 3.8 per attempt, but they are vulnerable to the chunk yards. they give up in excess of 100 yards a game. The Broncos, excuse me, are well over, like, they're at almost, what, 150-ish a game, almost 6 yards a carry. The Jets give up more than 100 yards per game on the ground, but they don't give them up per attempt. So will Denver stay committed after a handful of three-yard runs, because New York has been susceptible to the chunk runs as the game goes on?
Troy Rank, our guest, what is what's conditions there in the Meadowlands? What are we looking at today?
It looks dreary, but it's actually nice. I just walked the field a couple times. It's probably going to be in the 70s, a little humid. Way better weather than you have back home right now. When I flew out yesterday, it was snow on my plane at DIA. Yeah. I couldn't believe it, but the weather here's fine. It's actually perfect conditions for football. I mean, overcast and low 70s, so there'll be no excuses for weather in this one.
Any clarification about the punting situation that we may not understand or know? There seem to be some mixed messages coming from Marquette King's agent about the severity of his injury, whereas the Broncos coaches were not using that injury as an excuse for his poor punting.
Yeah, the idea he's been dealing with this since OTAs would be news to them. I mean, Tom McMahon, their special teams coach, said he did not have an injury until this most recent thing against the Chiefs. I was told that he aggravated and kind of hurt it against the Chiefs, his groin muscle in that game. So maybe it was lingering and then he aggravated it. I mean, the reality is this, D-Man, he didn't punt well. 44.1 yards a kick. He was 22nd in the NFL with three games at altitude. He didn't punt well. That Chucky John Gruden short film documentary didn't go over particularly well. That's not why he got cut. But you combine the fact with maybe he's not particularly healthy. He wasn't punting well, and it just wasn't bringing anything to the locker room. They just decided to move on. I mean, they could have waited. The risk they have here is Wadman comes out. He's never punted in a preseason or regular season game. If he comes out here and bombs, then you were like, well, how come you didn't wait on King? It tells you that they were ready to move on from King, that they didn't even wait a week to see how the rookie's going to do.
Hey, real quick, in a game that I think will be low scoring and tight, field goal kicking could become a big, big deal. Who's going to be Brandon McManus's holder today?
Good question.
I'm watching it right now. Kobe Wadman is the holder, and he got some holds 2 weeks ago, and he got all the holds in practice this week. I'm literally watching him hold right now. He said he's comfortable. He did it. I think he told me all 4 years at UC Davis. Now I get it. UC Davis is not the MetLife Stadium against the Jets, but he certainly has experience in the role. He did punt against Oregon guys his senior year, so he has punted in a big stadium before. It's only once in his college career, but he's holding right now. He says he's comfortable, and McManus told me that he's comfortable with Waldman. So we'll see, but yeah, you're right. In a close game, in a year when McManus has been perfect, you'd hate to see the holder play any kind of role in the outcome here.
I think we just should be clear. Marquette King was not cut because of Kobe Wadman. Marquette King was cut because he wasn't doing his job. If Kobe Wadman doesn't work out today, next guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who
cares?
Yeah,
they worked out a punter last Saturday, too. They've got punters on the list. You're right. I mean, it's not like they committed to Wadman. This could be a week audition. It could be literally a one-week audition. I mean, that's how the NFL works at some of these positions. But you're right, D-Mac. The reason they moved on from King was because King was not performing well.
Okay, great stuff, Troy. What's your prediction?
I have them winning on the road against all reason. I have them winning 23-20. Guys, they're 1-11 in their last 12 road games. They've been outscored in the first half of those games, 179-62. If they get off to a fast start today like they get against the Ravens, they should be able to win. Von Miller's got to have at least one sack, and they have to create a takeaway. If they do that, they win. I think they win a close game.
And the Rockies?
I think they will win. I don't like them not pitching Freeland, I'll be honest. But I do believe being back home, they'll find a way to win. I'm not crazy about, man, if you go to bed in a series without Freeland pitching, oof, I don't like that. I'm not going to lie.
It would be no Freeland and no Wade Davis
either.
Yeah,
but once you're down 2-0, what's the difference between losing in three, losing in four? If you're going to come back, you got to win games three and four. So
well,
you don't have these guys on normal
rest. I'm hosting radio tomorrow, so that's the difference.
All right. Appreciate it, Troy. Hopefully, we will be doing some radio tomorrow because that would mean that the Rockies would have won today. We appreciate it. Thank you, Troy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
When we come back, Sandy breaks it down. Sandy's stats of the game next. That's two plays. Scott Matthew. Our guy, Scott Matthew. He's awesome, man. We'll see what you do with that parking spot, Mike Evans.
Let's see what you, how much is it worth to you, Scott?
Yeah. All right, let's break this game down by the numbers. Nobody is better to do that than the professor, the great Sandy Clough. Hit us, Sandy.
Now let's hear from the great Sandy Clough with Sandy's stats of the game.
Well, sports fans, one thing we can tell you about today's game between the Broncos and Jets. It is not likely to be an aerial circus at MetLife Stadium. Sam Darnold coming into the game is ranked 30th in passer rating of all NFL starting quarterbacks currently operating. There are only two quarterbacks worse than Sam Darnold. One is Josh Allen of Buffalo. We'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count, as to who the other quarterback is who is even ranking lower than Darnold in passer rating. That's right. It's Case Keenum of Denver. Now, when you're talking about fourth quarter passer rating, Keenum is number 18 and Darnold is number 33. Advantage Broncos, I suppose, in that respect. But on third down, Darnold is eighth among passing leaders in the NFL as far as passer rating on third down is concerned. Keenum is number 28. Vance Joseph was talking at one point this week about how he thinks his special teams are right now about as good as anyone's. Well, only if you don't count net punting, only if you don't count punt return average, only if you don't count punt return average against. In all three of those areas, the New York Jets are better on special teams than the Denver Broncos are. If you're looking for signs of hope, signs of strength at the quarter pole for the Broncos, well, they are averaging 6 yards per play, ninth in the league. Their net rushing yard per game average is 148.3. That's third in the league. And they haven't lost a fumble this year. That's good, isn't it? Defensively, they are eighth in allowing fewest net rushing yards per game. That's it. That's the list of Denver strengths at the quarter pole. In spite of all that, the Jets, though a +2 on takeaway turnover ratio, and the Broncos at -3, Denver has won those 32 straight games when they've had the turnover advantage. And I think after having had a drought in taking the ball away over the last few weeks, the Broncos will intercept Sam Darnold a couple of times today, and they might even recover a fumble. They'll have the turnover edge, and that will be enough to win the game. Denver 16 and the New York Jets 13.
Okay, so you picked the Broncos to win. I got 16-13, kind of the way you see it.
Low score, yep.
Okay. All right, Sandy. Sandy makes too much sense sometimes. That's what bugs me about Sandy.
That's who
Sandy is. He makes sense.
Loud sense.
That's what still he makes a lot of sense.
He does it loudly, but he makes sense.
By the way, it's going to be really cool today because Sandy, how it works is we'll have John Davis and Orlando Franklin on during the game, the Broncos game itself. I love that feature. That's a brand new feature here on The Fan, and I think it's so cool to actually hear guys react to the game as it's going on. And apparently you can go hiking with Orlando Franklin every Saturday. I'm learning that as well. He puts a – did you know he's doing that?
Well, these
on Twitter, Orlando's putting out, like, where he's going hiking, and he invites people to go with him.
Really?
So
community hiking.
You can go – he puts out, like, a guidebook. He says, here's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to be at the trailhead. Who wants to come hiking with me? It's really cool. And
embracing his inner Colorado. I like it.
he's an awesome dude. And I'm so glad he's part of The Fan, as I'm glad that John Davis is as well. And I love the two of them together and talking about the game during the game is such a fun compliment to the game itself. I really think it's fantastic. And then Sandy will be – then we have the Rockies Brewers NLDS game on The Fan in crisp FM. Just, it's amazing on FM to be able to hear baseball. It's just remarkable.
Smack of the bat.
Oh, all of that stuff.
Smack of the glove.
And then Sandy will be on afterwards. So we do have a remarkable sports day here in Colorado, Mike. Perhaps talk about that a little bit, what today actually means for sports fans.
Well, it's a fantastic day. I just hope that the Rockies bats wake up. Boy, it was painful watching them swing the bat those first two games in Milwaukee. I mean, you talk about a team that was pressing. Trevor, you know, Trevor Story, chief among them, swinging at 59-foot pitches.
Yeah. That's a mental thing right there.
That is a mental thing, because Alex Rodriguez, who I can't stand, but is a good commentator.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, look, these guys know that they're not strikes coming out of the pitcher's hand.
Right.
Yet they're still swinging at
right.
it. There's
right.
He said that the thing about playoff baseball is being able to control your emotions and keep discipline. And right now they're an undisciplined bunch at the,
you know,
at the,
like,
at the plate.
The best hitter for the Rockies has clearly been Parra.
Yep.
Because he's getting the most quality at-bats.
Yep.
And, you know, Cargo's been pretty good, too.
Yep.
And Nolan's okay. You know, Nolan is deceptive because we're used to seeing doubles, home runs, you know, kind of loud production. He did go 2-for-4 the other day. It's just that we haven't heard seen the loud production out of Nolan. So for Nolan and his capabilities, I'd give him like a B. You know, it's just that when you see other players' stars, if you watch these other series, holy cow.
Yeah, Judge is delivering. Yelich is delivering. Machado is delivering. You know,
Altuve is delivering.
Yeah,
Bregman's delivering.
With Nolan, it's just, you know, he comes up in a big situation against the Cubs, sack fly. You know, big situation against the Brewers, sack fly. And again, there's nothing, it's not like it's failure, but it's just when you get to the postseason baseball, your best players need to be special. You know what I mean? And I, to your point, your word impact. I need more impact from Nolan.
Yeah, so that's why it's a B. It's not as miserable as everybody wants to make it. It's just not spectacular either. So let's get those moments today. You know, let's hope that comes out. But you can't be Trevor Story and hit 5 in the lineup and have runners on base constantly and strike out 5 out of 8 times.
Yeah.
And these are bad strikeouts,
yeah,
too. Save for perhaps his first strikeout of the entire series, which I think he got jobbed on. But let's see. You guys relax a little bit. No more excuses. You're off the road. And I do think their road grind was pretty crazy. But now there are no excuses. The weather is in the 50s. The Rockies have played plenty of games in the 50s, Mike. This is not highly unusual. And they'll be, we are going to have a sold-out crowd going absolutely nuts for the team. You're going to have arguably your best pitcher, Marquez, although
yeah.
I agree, pal. If we don't see Freeland in this series, I mean, okay. I mean, it is what it is. But then again, we can't hang anything on the Rockies pitching.
No. Sensatella and Anderson delivered exactly what we wanted from them. The pitching's been fine. The pitching's been fine. The bats, these high-paid guys in this lineup need to start delivering. What is it now? Of their last 13 road games, they've scored 2 runs less in 10 of them.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
They're not on the road, are they?
The Fan Football Pregame Show. We'll go behind enemy lines. Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News joins us next.